I think when you see business as self-actualization, you see it more as a game, and it doesn't become so stressful. You can have a little bit more fun with it and realize that there isn't one way to do it. The way that you built your business, even if I build the exact same business, I can't build it the exact same way because I'm different. When I allow that nuance to come in, it becomes more of a game and not so much it needs to be done this way in order to be right.
Welcome to the Learn It All podcast with your hosts, Learn It CEO, Damon Lemby, and SVP of Product, Darren Bridget. Our mission is to explore how continuous growth shapes the path to success. Our guests are high achievers who've learned there's always something new to discover. They'll share their stories, strategies, and insights with you. So whether you're a budding entrepreneur, a seasoned executive, an aspiring athlete, or simply someone who believes in the lifelong pursuit of knowledge, this podcast is for you. Join us now for the latest episode as we continue the Learn It All's journey through a world that never stops teaching.
Hello, Michelle.
I'm there.
And hello, everyone else. Welcome to today's Learn It event, Driving Growth with Michelle Nedelec. Am I saying that right?
You are. Yep. Say it fast enough and you are right.
Okay, good. Now, Nedelec's Guide to Entrepreneurial Leadership. My name is Darren Bridget. I am in charge of the product development strategy here at Learn It, and I'm joined by Michelle. Welcome to the program. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
I know. We were having such a good conversation to get us started, see if I can recreate some of the magic. But let me first introduce you. I've got a list of things here.
We have to have this conversation sometime.
Okay, so Michelle is a creative director, international speaker, podcaster, author, executive coach. You describe yourself as a business owner strategist. You help people with presenting on and off the stage, business strategy, marketing content, digital marketing, lead generation. You're particularly keen on marketing automation, systems integration. Michelle, you do it all. And I want to know, first off, how do you have that energy? And tell us your story. How did you get here?
Yes. And usually that intro is reserved for SEO and Google spiders because the rest of us are like, but it's, to me, it's an interesting story of how I got into where I am because I was thrown into the world of entrepreneurialness at 23 when I moved up to the Inuvik in the Northwest Territories. So one, don't ever move up to the Northwest Territories to start a job. Two, don't ever start three companies. And then three, don't throw having a kid on top of that and trying to figure this whole thing out. So my entrepreneurial journey was just a lot of fun right off the get-go. And being able to learn lessons of what it really means to run a business, what it really means to one, start a business and create a business that can run without you. And then being able to decide whether or not you want to play in the and participate in it still, or be able to move on and maybe start another company, sell it, have it run as a capital gain for you every month. To me, it's a game, and people have to really understand that. And how you play it is just irrelevant. But two, also that it becomes part of your self-actualization. It's you're not just running a business. You're figuring out who you are, why you're on the planet, and what purpose do you bring to this whole thing. So to me, there's so many dynamics of business that I can never get bored of it. And the fact that people are running it just makes it that much more exciting because I can never exciting things to discover about the humanity of it. So how I ended up here was playing the game, trying to figure out how to do the thing I do, and fast forward because in about 2019, I discovered I wanted to do podcasts and have a little fun with that. Fortunately for me, during what I call the lockdown, I had podcasts on the go, and that maintained my sanity. Being able to communicate with other entrepreneurs, finding people around the world to have business conversations and what are you doing and how are you doing it and how are you getting through this and what do you need in your life? And it wasn't ever, I just need more leads and I just need to make more money.
Yeah.
That's always going to be an aspect of business. It's always going to be the leading aspect of business. Yeah. But it was, I just need more downtime. I need to relax. I need to not get stressed out about this whole stuff. I need to figure out a way that's going to pivot and figure out what people need right now. And how do we tap into that? And all of those questions, I think, are so important. And being able to communicate with other people to discover them. I think is vastly important for entrepreneurs.
Yeah. That's great. For the listeners, we will talk about some of the lessons you've learned to help people who have that entrepreneurial mindset. I can't believe you set yourself up to have to say that word all the
right
time. How to drive growth. Because mm-hmm. there's so much that you've learned from people at all sort of different levels in their journey. But before we get there, we were having an interesting conversation about learning. And also, I'm curious, for you started businesses very early and you've had many businesses that you've started, but you have been drawn to a particular aspect of businesses, which is a lot to do with marketing and storytelling, but automation and systems and processes and things like that. So I'm curious, why is that the part that pulled you the most? That's the marketing piece.
The marketing piece, that was an interesting story unto itself too, in that it pulled me in. I didn't go, oh, hey, I want to be in marketing. So we started off as a personal development company in about 2003. Wow. And that became a personification in business of who I was. Learning to me is an everlasting process. And the more we can hone in on what do I want to learn? How do I want to learn it? How does it impact my life? Whether it's for fun or it's for business or it's foundational, when we know what that is and we can allow it to build on our foundation of who we are, I think it puts us in a more powerful position when we're learning, and it makes that learning happen faster, easier, which is what we all want. Yes, you're alluding to earlier. We all want that magic pill when it comes to learning. Yeah. And if we can hone in on why we want the learning, and it's not just I was told I have to do this thing.
Yeah.
In self-actualization, you're never told you have to do something. You put yourself in a position where other people will tell you that you have to do this thing. And if you understand your play in this, then you take on a fervor and a excitement about it. And that fervor and excitement makes it easier. And then you understand it's not just about getting my CE credits. It's not just about doing what the boss tells me I have to do. It's about the foundation of my life with which I'm going to play for the rest of it. And that's the magic behind everybody going, oh, I learned a language in 6 months and this is great. And oh, I learned how to do a trapeze act without breaking my neck.
That's a good start.
So when we're looking at this, the building aspect, the marketing aspect of a business, to me, it was that pivotal point where people were asking us to go online, and it was easy enough to make videos and things like that. And great, we're online. No, you're not online. Marketing online is completely different than it is in person. You can have a convenience store in person. You can't have a convenience store online. Amazon is the ultimate convenience store. You can't out-convenience them. So you have to look at other aspects of your marketing of what is it that people are looking for, which is why now we're having all these conversations about you need to niche, you need to pivot. And all the bricks and mortar is going, I hate this conversation. Yeah, because in person and you're having a conversation, it's totally different. You can put out a net first and then find your clientele. Online, you have to go spearfishing if you want to continue on the analogy. And it's being able to hone in on that one person at a time and understanding all roads lead to Rome. So you can have many of those spheres, but you have to be able to figure it out, be able to get an online. And the tech side of things for bigger companies was just mind-boggling for them. And I happen to have a partner in business and pleasure who specializes in the tech behind software build-outs. So I coerced them into working with and helping entrepreneurs to get their tech set up.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful thing. He loved it. And he's discovered that entrepreneurs are just so much more fun to work with than big guys, because then it becomes just corporate.
So I think let's return a little bit later on to some of the advice that you might have for folks around marketing, especially online marketing, as you said, is it's such an essential ingredient for any entrepreneur wanting to achieve the vision that they have for their organization. But you started with something pretty interesting too, which it wasn't like you were out there in the Northwest Territories thinking, I want to be a marketer. It's more, I want to do things and I want to take action myself and I'm going to start some businesses. And then you found your way and you used the word self-actualization. So if I have this right, it sounds to me like your approach to business, and I would imagine even though what you would recommend to other people, is that you use it as part of your life to become the best version of yourself. It's not, I'm going to force the life that I want through business. It's more like business is a part of your life. Being an entrepreneur is part of your life, and you use it to become the best version of yourself that you can be, which means you have to learn and grow along the way.
Absolutely. On all counts, on all of those things. My best advice to people is in marketing is to streamline, just to focus on, figure out one thing that you're really good at, one thing where this Venn diagram of what your client wants, what you are willing to put out there and what's fun to deliver all meets in the center, and you can, and everybody's different opinion of fun is very different. Right. Yeah. So I am very gregarious when I'm having fun. I get louder. I start humming or singing. Anything's going on. I have body movement attached to it. Whereas my partner in business, when he's having fun, he's honed in on the thing and he becomes very quiet and very centered. And, you know, so everybody's opinion of different fun is different. And as long as you know what yours is, but when that sweet spot in that Venn diagram shows up, if you can hone in on that in your business becomes effortless, more fun. I've had a lot of interviews with people that go, it doesn't really matter what your business is. It doesn't have to be fun. It just has to make money. And I go, so you have fun making money? Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Right? Like, let's keep the facts in the facts. And it's okay. And that's the thing. Because somebody like that is going to be miserable in a business that's not making money. Whereas somebody that's a philanthropist and heartfelt and just loves the thing, almost couldn't care less if it makes money or not. As long as they're getting that meaning and the purpose from their life, maybe it's because they're financially independent somewhere else. Maybe it's, who knows? How we go into business is totally different. And we need to keep that evident, because the people that we hire, the people that we influence, the products that we create, the way we market those are all going to be affected by us. And the more self-aware we can be as CEOs of our companies, the more productive that business is going to be in whatever means is important to us as productivity.
Yeah. It's a really fascinating perspective. And I appreciate that you're out there saying that your mindset and your approach to business really has everything to do with growth, with this, the topic right here, driving growth. You can't really do that if you don't step into that role in this kind of self-aware way and with a certain sense of purpose. But I imagine it's, you might think you know what it is stepping in, but then it changes too. And you're still going to have ups and downs. Like, as you're advising people as an executive coach or even strategically, how do you help people keep finding the target? It's like, I might start and think, oh, I know what my target is and I feel good about it. This is who I want to be, but it's still going to keep shifting while you're there. And you're inevitably going to have downturns.
Yeah. If you're not shifting, something's wrong. And a lot of people will say things like, I'm stuck. I've been doing this. I feel like it's Groundhog Day. It can happen for a while, but we know that it just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't jive when that happens. And that's okay. Usually when that happens, it means we're primed for a growth phase. We're primed for something, a change, a movement into something else. And when we're looking at our businesses, if we've been running a $900,000 business for 5 years, it's like, great, because there's a huge difference between running a $900,000 business and $1 million business, not because of that landmark itself, but because of the systems that need to be put in place, because of the repetitiveness that needs to be put in place, because of the lack of you that needs to be put in place and more of the products and systems. Maybe it's time to let go of the ego. Maybe it's time to let go of the whatever it is, you coming in playing the hero all the time, and you got to step away from that or become the hero somewhere else. Yeah. And your business needs you to evolve in order for you to go to the next step. And the same thing happens at 10 million to 30 million. There's all these sorts of phases that happen in business. And it's almost predictable, but it's like almost being a 2-year-old is predictable and almost being a teenager is predictable. It becomes predictable. And so are all these other elements of life. One, don't be afraid of the change, because it's a good thing. Two, there is a law of nature that says that things will change, right? It's sine, cosine, it's energy flow. I can go into the science of it, into the fun of it, however you want to go. But there are rules of nature, and up and down is one of those. It's going to happen in your business, whether you want it to or not. So you may as well learn how to have fun with it. Because it's going to be inevitable. If you're fighting it all the way, that just doesn't make it fun.
Yeah.
So I may have alluded to earlier, when we start learning things and we start growing our business, it's not fun. We're going to fall on our face. We're going to scrape our knees. It's going to hurt. And that's okay, because that's part of the learning curve, is getting rid of the things that we thought kept us safe and right. spreading our wings and going into freedom and realizing what really is keeping us safe. And what's keeping us safe is not these external things that we're all attached to. It's our capacity to be able to deal with the reality in front of us. And that has to come out, sorry, in a way that's not so fun. It doesn't feel so great. Yeah. We're not going to be good at it.
Yeah.
And eventually we will. So it's all good.
Yeah. I can see how you would be a tremendous support for somebody going through that phase, you know, and that work that you do. We were talking about this earlier because it leads to this idea too of failure and how do we feel about failure, which is such a necessary part of learning. I was working in Germany with some clients when I first really heard this, and it made sense to me because I grew up here in the Bay Area. I've been, you know, surrounded by Silicon Valley forever. And they were talking about how in Germany, if you're a CEO and your business fails, like that's it. You don't get another chance. Whereas here in Silicon Valley, it's how many businesses did you start and fail at? That's your badge of, that's like how you get in. Yes. Oh, I started and failed in 17 businesses. Oh, you're amazing. Let's get you at the top seat of the table. And you were talking about failure. You had a great story about it as well. So in this same spirit, like, how should entrepreneurs really think about and handle failing? Obviously, we're not talking about go out and try to fail, but how should you think of it?
I know.
Maybe you should.
The way I look at, first off, I think everybody has to have a different opinion of failing. Because if you take a scientist in a lab, they have a hypothesis how an experiment's going to turn out. And if the experiment turns out exactly the way they thought it was going to turn out, they don't just go, yay, I'm right. Hey, let's take it to market. It's great. And now we have to change the equations. Now we have to change things because we need to know that's why it was right.
Yeah.
Because just because we had an hypothesis and we put all the ingredients in place at the right time and place in order to get the result that we wanted to, doesn't mean it was because we had those ingredients at the right time, at the right place, the right temperature, and all those things. Yeah. So we need to break the formula. We need to be wrong in order to prove that we were right. Yeah. And it's a very different way of looking at success, because a lot of people who have started a business, ran a business, it was very successful, sold it for millions of dollars, went, yay, let's do this again. This is awesome. And then the second time it didn't work out quite. Oh my God, what happened? Am I a loser now? Like, how did this go wrong? And that's not true either. It's just, you know, what you thought was the formula to make it right wasn't necessarily it. And you just have to figure out what that is. And that becomes the part that we think sucks. But it's not. That's the part that's, if we embrace it, that's the fun part. So one is figuring out that this thing that we call failure isn't really a failure. It's a learning process. And it allows us to then know things and nobody else knows. So I'm going to tell the story that I told you earlier, because I think it's paramount. And again, I apologize to whomever's story this is. I don't remember who it was, and I don't remember the exactness of it, but the gist of it was this gentleman in a company had been paid to, or hired to be able to go and front this project. And it was a huge project. It was $300,000 going into this project, being able to build this thing. And in the end, it broke and it was wrong. The guy comes up to the CEO and says, I hugely apologize. I'm going to hand in my resignation. I feel like such a loser. This was all. I take full responsibility and I'm out of here. And the CEO said, no, you're not. This cost $300,000 worth of education. You are mine. You now know more in the industry than anybody else does. And we're going to use that to propel forward. And that to me is the insight that a CEO needs when they're hiring people, to understand why are we putting these people in place? And I get it. You're not hiring them to fail, but you are hiring them to potentially to move your business to the highest place in your industry. And the only way they can do that is to learn what works, what doesn't work, to have some creativity, to build it on the outside. And those so-called failures become the groundwork with which your company can succeed on a whole different level. So you have to be asking yourself, why am I hiring these people? Is it only to make an income? Is it to be able to grow and learn their capacities, to make me the mentor and to help the next generation to learn how to facilitate these things? Or is it to help me to become the best I can be, to be able to self-actualize through my business to figure out what I'm made of and how I can be the best version of myself in this lifetime. Yeah. And those are three very different positions to be running a company from. And you're going to find that it takes you to a very different place in business.
Yeah. And that's such a great story. And I'd never heard anything like that before. The perspective of, I just invested all this money. Why do I want somebody to pay for somebody else to get the lesson instead of for me to reap the rewards on it? And the whole perspective of being, look, if you're entering business, it's because you're basically saying, I have something new to offer here.
Yeah.
And in order for there to be something new, you have to be a bit of a scientist about it. But people, even when you watch movies, the heroes always go through that try-fail sort of cycle and they finally figure it out. And then there's a montage of them getting better. And it happens very quickly and then they're better. Like, we're not really interested in all the work that it takes to get there. But it's almost as an entrepreneur, you have to get interested in it because that's actually what you're going to be doing. That montage is what you're going to be doing. And then we just think about afterwards, but you got to enjoy the montage.
Right. And it's like there is a pianist playing at a concert and a lovely lady walked up to him and said, oh, I would do anything to play piano like you do. And he goes, no, you wouldn't. And she just keeps playing. And it's a very abrupt and in your face sort of way of saying, I put tens of thousands of hours of practice in this. Yeah. You wouldn't do that yourself.
Yeah.
And it's flying in the face of people that are like, I just want to be good at things, but I don't actually work for it.
Yeah,
and we all know that what that creates is a spoiled attitude of somebody who wants something that doesn't deserve it. Now, I'm not saying you can't learn fast, but you can't expect to get the gains of something without building your character in the process of learning that thing. And it's the process of building your character that's more important than the piano playing, because you can listen to anybody that's really good at playing piano and still hear it. So it's not that. It's the element of who you become in the process of learning these things. And when you keep that in mind, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about who do you want to become in learning these things? It's not because you need the CE credits. It's not because somebody told you you had to. It's who are you becoming in the process of learning these things?
Yeah.
And if we can keep that in mind, then we go, oh, I get it. And then it doesn't matter what you're learning, whether you're learning fundamental trigonometry or you're learning how to be a forklift operator or whatever it is, then it becomes, oh, I get to become somebody awesome because I've learned this stuff.
Yeah. I just want to share this very quickly. And then afterwards, I think I really would be doing a disservice to people if we didn't ask you about some of the specific recommendations you have in your area of expertise. But before, I just have to share this because it's interesting. We started working with Kristen Maneri, who actually was a guest on one of these a while ago. She's a habit coach. And we're going to build out some of our learning with this idea of being a habit scientist, like a researcher for your own habits, which is exactly what you're saying, which I think is so interesting. It's not just, oh, otherwise people wouldn't struggle with their New Year's resolutions. If it was that easy, it wouldn't be a problem. It's you actually need to be a scientist about yourself and how you work in order to get the results that you want. And I don't think enough people have that curiosity or maybe that willingness to change in that sort of self-actualization way they're talking about.
Right. And some people get scared because you say scientist. Some will get enthralled by it because there is a science to it. I think the best scientist is a five-year-old because they're curious. So curiosity takes different flavors depending on who the individual is. And absolutely, to me, it is the secret spice that if you can add that to everything you do, and life becomes so much more fun. So another fun example on this, my partner and I went to Florida once and we went to go and see the Ringling Brothers castle.
Yeah.
That's down there. And the people we were talking to was, oh, circuses. I hate circuses. Circuses suck. And I went, yeah, but can you imagine being there in the 1900s when there was nothing around? All of a sudden these elephants coming to town, then giraffes and zebras. And that would have been so amazing as a kid. And you're like wrangling up a penny. At that time, I think it cost like 10 cents to go. Like to be able to figure out how to wrangle up 5 cents to be able to go to the circus.
Yeah.
What would you have done to be able to do that? And they're looking at me like, where is this coming? Are you insane? And I'm like, how do you not look at a castle in the middle of Florida and go, how did this get here? Like,
what an amazing journey.
It's not just, it's old. Okay, get it, but.
that's that amazing sort of entrepreneurial journey, right? You should be so lucky that you get to the point where people are like, ah, old hat, who cares? To start from that journey all the way through. Okay.
Marketing.
And actually, because you talk about automation and things like this too, and you had a story in one of, I think it was your podcast or somewhere, you're talking about hiring the right person for the right job. And just as an entree into this idea, we have so many tools that are just unbelievable that people didn't have access to before to be able to do things that you couldn't have done, publish your own book or make your own movies or whatever it is. And I think sometimes people feel like the tool does the job for you. Mm-hmm. I have an actor background. And if you're thinking about how it was editing old movies with film, it was a laborious process. And you had to be a real artist to get it right. Now with these nonlinear editors, you can just do anything you want immediately. And it's the tools will do it for me. But that's not exactly right. The tools can't do everything for you. It takes a certain level of talent and expertise and these things that you learn to be able to do those things. So when it comes to marketing, maybe just as a way into this, what are those things that entrepreneurs and CEOs and people should be thinking like, this is what we need help with?
Yeah. And I totally think that it's understanding that whether you use Myers-Briggs, use DISC, use whatever it is that you use, I compartmentalize it into four personalities because it's easier for me, or because I'm Canadian, five, because hockey. you got to know your center. You got to know your right and left wing. You got to know your defense. You got to know your goalie. It's still four. They have four very different personalities, right? The forward is going after the puck. They're looking after the opponent's net is what they want to know and who's where.
Yeah.
Your wingman are the ones that are behind you. They're looking where you're going, where the puck's going. They're focused on whether or not you're going to shoot the puck back to them to get it into the net. So they're
different.
Defensemen are looking at the goalie going, hey, we want to be able to check them, but they're not looking at them. They know where the goalie is. And what they're looking at is the other line's offense and particularly center in order to know where they're going and can they block and stop whatever's going on. And the goalie is focused on, this is my space. I don't go beyond my space. Nobody comes into my space. And this is my territory. Yeah, when you think your business in that regards, it puts a different spin on why am I hiring these people? Because so many times at the start of a business, I hear people go, I just need a mini me. I just need somebody that can do the things that I do. But don't say, no, that's what you want. What you want is to be able to, when you can sell your product and people are giving you referrals, now you need to itemize, what are the things that I'm doing? What am I doing well? And who can do it better?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can tell somebody, this is how I did it. This is what I want you to do. I want you to do it six times. And once you've done it six times, then you get to bring your own creative spice into it. But until you know what I do and how I do it and why I do it the way I don't change anything, that's fine. They're still in their inter of expertise. And when we look at our marketing, it's very much the forwards going out. We want to be able to find out where our ideal audience is. How do we hone in on them? And our ideal audience isn't everybody. It's the dude with the puck.
Don't
care about. There's five more people out there. I don't want them. I want the one with the puck. So knowing they look similar, but there's a difference between them. How do I differentiate them? And until I can differentiate them and know who that person is, then I don't have an idea of how to teach somebody else how to find that person. I need to do it myself, and then I can teach them that aspect of it. But the person I'm teaching how to do defense or operations is going to be totally different. Or my HR is there to keep me safe and secure and know all the rules and the regulations. And that's a totally different rule than somebody that's in creative who goes, there are no rules. We don't need rules. We're going to do all these things. So understanding that personality type is, your creatives need to be creative. Your techs need to be techy. There's a reason they're called techs. That's the way they think. That's the way they observe things. Yeah. Like, use people's strengths for the strength of the role that they're in and understand those strengths. And oftentimes, people don't understand their own strengths, which is why we want assessments and quizzes and fun things to be able to go, hey, I know I've been raised to be this way, but your natural talent is actually over here. So why don't we give you some extra projects over here that are safe to fail at, but you can learn how to be you and be really good at it. And now you're teaching your people how to self-actualize themselves. And it creates for a more fun environment. It creates a more effective environment. And sometimes keeping with the rules in business and the way you've always done it isn't necessarily the best way to do it. And how do you create an atmosphere where you can figure that out?
Yeah, it's great. Finding, really getting people in the right direction. So you obviously are a creative. You've been a creative director. Just listening to you talk, it's I don't know how many rules there are that have gotten in your way, but you've all really, I know that you're very interested in processes and things like that too, because you like the automation process and systems integration, things like that. How do you square those two personality?
So there's, before I get into how I do it particularly, I think business owners need to know that there's really four aspects of their business, or four stages of business. The first stage is the startup, is that spaghetti on the wall phase. We're throwing stuff up against wall, trying to see what sticks. And we're just going to do a whole ton of stuff and see what people respond to. Awesome. Yeah. That is the startup phase it needs to be. And you have to do it that way in order to get into the growth phase. Because until I try seven different things and I figure out which one works, then I can't get into the growth phase because I need to know which one worked. So you had a question earlier about things are going to change. I think this is my ideal audience. I don't know if it's my ideal audience. Great. Yeah. Go and build it. See if they come. If they don't, go build another one. Change it. Make it better. Do the things you got to do. And then find the one that sticks and then make that one better. So now you have 47 things in the go. Now you need to cross out 46 of them. Hone in on that one thing and streamline that one thing. Do it over and over again until you have the systems right, until you have the processes right. And then you're testing it on cooler and cooler markets until, without beyond a shadow of a doubt, that things like Google Ads, Facebook Ads are going to work because they're getting more and more expensive, which means that getting into the what I call the scaling phase, where you're just throwing money at the problem and that's solves the problem. We just need ads. We just need to get out there. We just need to open a market. It's being able to scale really is, if you're at the point where you know throwing money at the problem will solve it, that is the scaling phase. People will use scaling, in my opinion, long before. That's just the growth phase. You're just going from you to a whole bunch of people. That's just growth. Going from a whole bunch of people to exponential growth, that's the scaling phase. Once you're in the scaling phase, then you can exit because somebody's willing to buy that and they go, yep, you have a system that works. We love it. Yeah. We will take the phone and we will pay you copious amounts of money for it. So those to me are the kind of four phases. And you need to know which phase you're in, because if you're in the startup phase and you're only doing one thing and it's not working, then you have to be willing to do other things. And let's try another market. Let's try another this. Whatever makes sense. I'm not saying you just randomly go out and do it. But hire people that can look at your business and go, oh, wow, you have a very different message than you have branding. Nobody is going to see the cohesiveness and they're not going to drive forward on that because they feel conflicted and they don't know why. And that's just the psychology of buying. And maybe that's where you're at. You need to understand those things. So I'm a huge advocate of bringing in the experts that know and then putting the right people in the right seats. Be able to do the right thing, because oftentimes people will get their assistant to do their technology and she's phenomenal with people, but the technology sucks. Your tech, on the other hand, is over here going like, why are you using me for tech? Because she is phenomenal at being able to put the technology together. Don't necessarily take her out into the network. She'd much rather be on a computer, right? So there's a different personality types that you want to put in those positions. They're just naturally good at, and they can excel in those and take them further than you could when you had the reins on them.
Yeah, that's great advice. Let me recap a little bit of what we've covered right now, because we've covered a lot of ground. Some of the things that we've talked about is this kind of self-actualization idea when it comes to being an entrepreneur in your business. And it's your business and your life are connected, and it's in that way that, why are you doing this? What's your purpose? And is it helping you to become a better person? And then at the same time, do good things with your business. I think that's your position in a nutshell. You can correct me because I'm done. We talked about learning and this willingness to really be a scientist and approach failure like a scientist, spend time in that place, and your team, allow your team to go through that process as well. Getting the right people in the right roles and being really intentional about that. And then mapping all that to the stages that you're going to have as an organization of growth as an entrepreneur.
Nailed it.
What, as we start to get to wrapping it up here, what other kind of final pieces of advice when it comes to you're out there, you're in the middle of trying to be an entrepreneur and trying to just keep going? Would you add to the list of things that we just discussed?
One of the biggest issues I see with business owners, one is they don't see it as self-actualization. I think when you see business as self-actualization, you see it more but it's a game and it doesn't become so stressful. It's, you can have a little bit more fun with it and realize that there isn't one way to do it. The way that you built your business, even if I build the exact same business, I can't build it the exact same way because I'm different. So yeah. I'm going to have to sell my business slightly differently. And so when I allow that nuance to come in, then it becomes more of a game and not so much of a, it needs to be done this way in order to be right.
Yeah.
That almost never works in life. So from a psychological point of view, a physical point of view, a bill of point of view, financial point of view, it has to be done this way is usually wrong. So if you're thinking that, get that out of there and go, okay, if we could build this any way I wanted to, how could we build it? And start with that dream and the foundation. And then reverse engineer with strategy first, tactics second. Because people go out there, it has to be done this way. They're looking for the secret pill, the key to make it all work. And they put tactics in front of strategy. And that is a guaranteed failure as well.
Yeah.
When they're going out, okay, we've got the strategy. We're going to put in the tactics. Now we're going to find the right people to do the right thing. It might not be the right person at first, but then we start to notice, hey, Jenny's really good at video. Jenny doing more of our videos. We can do those sorts of things to be able to build the creativity of it. It becomes fun and we start to build. And then we start to notice things like the market and go, oh, there's actually opportunity. Where other people see failure and dismalness, there's always opportunity. You cannot have chaos without opportunity. So if you start to feel like, oh my God, I'm in chaos, go, great, awesome. But there's opportunity because when things become stagnant and predictable, there isn't as many opportunities in it. So never be afraid of chaos. Never be afraid of mayhem. Never be afraid of change and all of those things, because that's where the opportunity comes in. And the secret sauce to that is all you have to do is be willing to look for it. As soon as you go, I don't know, I listened to this crazy woman on a podcast once and she said there has to be an opportunity. All of a sudden you'll go, there's the opportunity. Because without saying that, you're not open to it. But as soon as you say it and question it, then you become open to it and you start to notice those things. And that's when it becomes, that's when you get to build your business. I go on podcasts like this and they're like, but we got to sell your product. We got to do the thing. I don't know when people are going to listen to this and I don't know what I'm going to be offering at that point. I do know my name's going to change. So you can go. But come and figure out what I'm doing at that time and how it fits for you. Because if it's not a fit, I will know somebody who can help to fit, because I love connecting people around the world and going, hey, this is your center of influence. This is the person you need to talk to. They're either going to give you the ideas, the market, the whatever, and you can race from there. And oftentimes those little conversations are the golden nugget that somebody needs to be able to kick off and run their business. If it turns out that we happen to be the right fit for the issues that you have at that moment, awesome, fantastic, and totally looking forward to working with you.
Yeah, that's great, Michelle. Yeah, I feel like I would want a little phone tucked away somewhere that's like a direct line to you. This is chaos. You said there's an opportunity. I can't see it. Where is the opportunity? Yeah, a little safety line.
And then I'll go, so what did you notice? And they'll go, this. And I go, what's wrong with that? They'll go, that. I go, great, there's the opportunity.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so it's a short call too. That's good. Michelle, people can reach you where again?
Absolutely. I am on LinkedIn. So my name is Michelle Nedelec. That'll be in the show notes. Search for me. I am the only English speaking one. You know, the rest are all French and only speak French. So I know because I contacted them as soon as Facebook was a thing. I'm like, hey, I wonder if there's any other Michelle Nedelecs in the world. So I'm having conversations with Mala. There's artists, there's gardeners, there's all sorts of interesting people, but I'm the only one that speaks English. You all find me.
All right. Good. Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was really an absolute pleasure to be able to talk to you and come on the show again sometime.
I love it. Thank you. And audience, keep learning. It is the most fun, curiosity building thing that's out there. Learning will get you everywhere you ever wanted to be in life.
Yeah, terrific. All right. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Everyone else, have a great rest of your day as well. And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye, everybody.